There was a book that I had to read for a course that I was taking in college. I was majoring in sociology. This was back in 1973. The book was called The Denial of Death. The Denial of Death. It was written by Ernest Becker, who was a cultural anthropologist. And the idea of the book was this. He was inviting us to reflect on the fact that one of the things we find difficult to accept is death. It's difficult for us to face our mortality. So fearful are we of death. And he proposes that in our lives, we find signs and symbols to deny that death. We create signs and symbols in the midst of our mortal lives to deny that at some point we will die. As an example, you know, many of us, when we pass away, will have our name carved on a stone, you know, that kind of lives beyond us. It's like saying, I was here. You know, and, in culture and in civilization, sometimes you see, I won't name names, but you can see buildings, particularly in New York City, with a certain person's name on them. You know, that it's a name that kind of, you know, I may not be here, but my name will live on. Those are kind of light examples. But in a much deeper level, Ernest Becker was suggesting this idea of that denial of death very much shapes and forms us in ways we may not even realize or understand. And he was also looking at culture and civilization and how that works, which was something a sociology major would be looking at. I wonder, though, if it's death that we're denying. I wonder whether it's death that we're fearful of, or is there something that we're more fearful of? And I would propose that that's birth. I wonder if we're more afraid of birth. Or is birth and death two sides of a similar coin? Because what dying can lead to is life. David Stendelrast, who's a Benedictine monk who guides a lot of my spiritual thinking, suggests this. He says that life, in many ways, invites us to practice dying. Does that sound a little morbid? But let me, what he means by it is that life is this invitation to continually die to self, to continually let go, to continually open ourselves to new life, to newness, to new possibilities. And that in many ways, as we go through life practicing that, rather than holding on, but being willing to let go, what he's suggesting, David Stendelrast is suggesting, is that when ultimately we face our death, we've practiced. And we know what it means to ultimately let go and give this wondrous gift back to our Creator from whence it came. Birth is a scary thing, isn't it? Someone once said, if you were to say to a child before it was born in the womb, do you want to be born? And they might say, no, I like it in here. It's warm and I'm safe. And I wonder if throughout our lives, oftentimes we get very comfortable with what we know and where we are, and we want to hold on to that. We're not willing to be born to something new. And to be born to something new, don't we really have to die and let go and be invited to something new in our life? Why do I bring this up? I've been reflecting on this during this season of Epiphany. We are in the season of Epiphany. Yes, it's February. The manger scene is gone. The Christmas decorations may be down in our homes. Maybe they haven't, like in my house, gotten up to the attic yet. But we feel like we're out of this sort of post-Christmas. But Epiphany is this season after Christmas. Christmas is the season where we celebrate this wondrous birth of Jesus. And Epiphany is a season where we're celebrating this Jesus beginning to be manifested to the world. The word Epiphany comes from the Greek word epiphanos, which means a kind of showing forth, a manifestation. And many of the readings that we read, the gospel readings that we read during this season of Epiphany, are stories about Jesus becoming manifest, Jesus beginning to be known. The story of the baptism of Jesus, remember that a few weeks ago. And of course, the defining story of the Epiphany is the story of who? The wise men. That's the gospel reading that we associate with this Feast of the Epiphany. And I want to reflect with you on that a little bit. You know the story of the wise men? They follow a star. Isn't that what the story is? They follow a star, and they're led to the home of Jesus in Bethlehem where he was born. They take a journey. Now, for you and I, oftentimes when we go on a journey, we know where we're going. I'm leaving here, and I'm going there, and I'm on a journey. But the journey that these wise men took was quite different. This journey that the wise men are taking is they don't know where they're going. They don't know they're going to end up in Bethlehem. You might even say, so why'd they leave in the first place? Why do you leave a place to go to some other place you don't even know where that is yet? The story is they followed a star. And I think in this wonderfully mythic story, the star is a sign to us of this idea of this epiphany, this manifestation of something that drew their attention. An epiphany oftentimes is not something that we can create. Did you ever think about that? An epiphany is not something we create, but an epiphany is oftentimes something that happens to us, and it takes us to a new place. Whatever an epiphany is in your life. And I think that's what happened to these wise men. They are taken with this star. What a wonderful image. And this star leads them to Bethlehem, leads them to the Holy One, leads them to Jesus. And in a wonderful end of that story, it says, and they returned by a different route. Once you've responded to that epiphany, once you have let go of who you are for who you are not yet, once you let go of where you are for where you are not yet, once you let go of what you know for what you don't know, you don't go back the same way. You've been born in a new way, and your perspective is different. I think that's one of the wonderful stories of that story of the wise men, the story of the epiphany. And what about our lives? Maybe that's what religion needs to be about. It's about many things in our lives, but religion really invites us to be aware and open to those epiphanies, to those manifestations, to those showing forth in our life. Perhaps it's about learning how to listen, learning how to see, learning how to get a sense of the holy in our life and in our world, and being called forth to respond to that. But sometimes that can be very scary. Sometimes we can prefer to hold on to what we know. And that's what today's gospel is about. This gospel that we just read, Jesus has gone to the synagogue in his hometown. He's already been doing other things, and he's become known, and he's come back to the synagogue, and he's welcomed into the synagogue, into the gathering place of his faith tradition, of his faith family. And it says in our gospel reading, he reads a reading, and everyone loves the way he read the reading. So they were really impressed with him. He was doing something in the midst of their worshiping community. But then, it's a complicated gospel. But what's going on in this gospel is this idea that those synagogue leaders really can't hear what Jesus really wants to communicate. They shut him down. He's a prophet, and they're challenging him. They don't really want to accept what he is about, because what he's trying to do is call this gathered community to possibly something new. It's kind of what a prophet does. A prophet speaks from that experience of the holy in their life and invites the community to consider walking towards that. In some ways, Jesus was an epiphany in that synagogue gathering. But what does the gospel say happens? The gospel says, Well, they don't say it this way, but it's like they go, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to do anything with you. They push him out. They push him out. They don't just push him out the doors of the synagogue. It's pretty dramatic. They say they push him to the cliff of their town, to push him over the cliff. What a symbolic word. When you hear a prophet in your life, you oftentimes want to push them off the cliff because it just disrupts everything. It's an example which can happen in a religious environment. We want to stay the same. We want to stay safe. This is who we are. And Jesus is saying to this synagogue gathering, die to some of that. Open yourself to this epiphany. Open yourself to this star. Open yourself to this possibility. But this is an example where they don't. And the wonderful ending of that gospel reading, they want to push him off the cliff, and it says, and Jesus walks through their midst. Doesn't respond to that anger, doesn't respond to that environment, but he walks through their midst. For those of you here today from the vestry retreat, no one else will know what this means. Maybe he was a nine. I don't know. Best you remember is me. Laugh at that. But he walks away through their midst. So what about our lives? How do we open ourselves to those epiphanies, to those stars that walk in our everyday life, those epiphanies that happen in our families, in our homes, in our community, and around us? What about the stars that we gather with Sunday after Sunday here at St. Paul's? What about the people who show forth this wonder in our lives? And are we able to, like the wise men, let go and live into that star, live into that epiphany, live into that dream, live into that vision? I think that's what we're called to do. That's a big part of being part of a religious tradition, is allowing ourselves to continually die and be reborn. Die and be reborn. Die and be reborn. Our vestry spent the last couple days on its vestry retreat really engaging in some of the stars that you place before this faith community through the visioning process. We had this wonderful visioning process, and we came together as a vestry to really engage with that and try to shine some lights on where we want to go forth as a parish to respond to those manifestations of the Holy, to those calls to something new. And as I kiddingly said at the 9 o'clock service, it's still on flip chart paper. But we'll get that all coordinated and get that out in the next over the days and weeks ahead. We're being called to something. And we're uniquely being called in this time of the year as we walk through our stewardship program to sense the joy of what it means to be part of a faith community that responds to the epiphanies in its life, that responds to the possibilities of new life, that responds to the vision that God has before us. Jesus is not in our midst challenging us to do something, and we're shutting it out. But Jesus is calling us to something, and we're trying to respond. We're trying to live faithfully. And our stewardship program is inviting us to celebrate the incredible joy of that, what it means to be part of something like that. And I hope you'll reflect on your life, that you may move from different places in your life to live into that and support that dream, support that joy, support that vision together. So let us be a people of epiphany, a people who look out and look for the manifestations around us. Go out today, this week. Next Sunday's the last Sunday where we celebrate. This goes on in all of our lives, but our liturgical cycle invites us to highlight that. Go out there today and find where Jesus is. Find where the stars are. Find where the manifestations are in your life. And hear them and listen to them and try to sense, where am I being called? Where are the possibilities in my life of new birth?